This morning, we're continuing looking at fathers as we started 2 weeks ago today. We looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and somewhere or another, I have gotten rid of my clicker, so Michael is going to be clicking for me this morning, so we'll see if we catch up. This morning, we're looking at the responsibility that we as parents and especially fathers have for raising our children. As you see in this text, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we looked at the first part last time. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." We looked at that last time, we spent some time looking at that, looking at not provoking our children to anger. And if you'll recall, we went through 25 things within the scripture and different ways you can provoke your children to anger. As a matter of fact, you can provoke anyone to anger. The thing is, as we look at those things, many times kids say, "Well, see there, I had a reason to get mad at mom and dad." No. You are responsible for your anger. They may have done something to provoke it, to respond in an ungodly way, is still on you. It is still sinful to respond sinful in ungodly anger towards your parents. But do not provoke your children to anger. But it continues on, and this is the part we didn't look at last time, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you looked at that passage of scripture, we'll look at that. Heard that passage that we read in opening. We saw that in the Old Testament, the teaching of always having God's word in front of your family. It was, you put it on your head. You speak of it all the time as you sit down, as you lay down, as you get up, and everything is centered around God's word and pleasing and living for Him. And that's really the attitude that we have. It's for all of us to do. Now, it says fathers here in this passage of Scripture, but guess what? These are responsibilities for grandparents. This is responsibility for husband, for daddies, for mamas, every one of them. Some of you are sitting here and you don't have a daddy in the home. Guess what? It still goes to you. It is a responsibility of all. Why does it say fathers? I think it says fathers because ultimately in the home, the fathers are the one that is responsible and will give an account to the Lord one day for what they have done in raising their children. So the accountability comes to daddy, all right, especially as he is in the home. We had fun, Debbie and I, we had to go to some training for foster children this week on Thursday night, and it was about discipline. It was pretty interesting. It started out, and they said, "What do you think the word discipline means?" And Debbie spoke up and says, "Well, it means to make a disciple." And I thought, man, she's going to let Debbie have it. And then she clicks the slide and says, "It means to make a disciple." And I was like, man, my wife's pretty smart. She is. And we sit there and we look at, and it's that picture that what we are doing through everything of our life is discipling our children and helping them to become like Christ. Now, they didn't tell us that with the CPS training this week. But that's really what it is about. We are helping them grow to be disciples. Now, folks, it doesn't mean that we will be perfect as parents. I don't know about you, but I am definitely not perfect as a parent. You've seen a few weeks ago about the child that fell into the enclosure with the gorilla, and I'm here to tell you, I got so sick and tired of seeing the messages and things like that and how awful those parents were for forgetting them or for letting that child fall into that. I loved what the prosecutor said. He said anyone who has a 3-year-old kid understands how he could scamper off quickly. And says if they don't understand that, they have never had kids in their life. I agree. Anybody ever had a 3-year-old scamper off? That's a term that he used. I remember Michaela, she got lost in the Rocky Mountains several years ago. She was about that age. And we started looking around. We were setting up camp, a tent. And we'd talk to each other. When we get out, we got to watch Michaela. We got to keep an eye on Michaela because Michaela will be gone like nothing. I mean, we're talking about it and we've worked it out. We know the plan. We're setting up the tent and we look up and guess what? Michaela's gone. We're right by a pond. I've gotten permission to tell the story. So We're right by a pond. I mean, our hearts sink because we're scared to death that that child has fallen into the pond. Fortunately, there were some fishermen around, and it was just as calm as it could be. And they said, "We will guarantee you your daughter is not in this pond." And we were so grateful. So we start looking around. It took about 5 minutes, and I mean, it's about the time we're going to have to call the authorities. We are in the middle of the Rocky Mountains, South Fork, Colorado, our favorite place in all the earth still. But we're going to have to get our daughter found. And just as I'm starting to head to the office, here comes Michaela. And she saunters out of the men's shower room, going, "I went pee-pee all by myself. I had permission." I mean, they get away. I mean, we were trying to be as good of parents as we could. We had, one eye on the tent, and we thought one eye on her, and gone. I wish that's the only story we had of our children getting lost from us in an instant. It's by God's grace, both of them are still alive. But we discipline them and raise them up. I mean, we hugged her neck, but I'm guarantee you, we gave her a swat on the fanny for leaving afterwards. Getting her attention. You don't leave without telling mama and daddy. All right? We sometimes have that conversation when they're 17. Continue on. But we bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. One of the things we've got to understand is that that we guard their heart. What's the next passage it's got? Because I've got something's out of order here. This is what's fun about when you don't have the clicker. Ah, there it is. Okay, sorry about that. Let's see. I moved a place in my sermon and I didn't move it up there. How about that? All right, discipline your children. Scripture says there, discipline your son for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Anybody set your heart on putting your kid to death? Seriously, have you thought about it? Have there been those times? Maybe you didn't want to, but man, I loved it as we were talking to, or as this lady was teaching us this week, and she looked at all of us foster parents in the room and said, if you have never gotten to the point that you wanted to hurt a child, you probably haven't had one. I was like, whoa. And then I said, yep. In the Old Testament law, what would take place was it was to the point that if you had a son or a child that would continue to rebel, you could bring them to the elders of the community and have them put to death. Why? You say, that's horrible. I agree. But what was it? It was looking at the issue of what would happen within society as you continue to have rebellious children. Has anybody noticed any issue with rebellion in our nation today? Now, I'm not saying we're going back to that. Please don't hear me say that at all. But you understand, discipline them while there is hope. When do you start disciplining children? Early. Early. You teach them, you bring them home, and I'm here to tell you, with a baby, it's really good to get them on a schedule. And give them that discipline of a schedule of when they eat and those kind of things and when they sleep. If you let them drive it, what will happen? You'll never sleep. And you start it early. Continually disciplining them, putting that discipline within their life. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You say you start that early, and here it's talking about the use of what we would call a paddle or something to spank with. And you notice what it says is you don't just leave your kids to themselves. A lot of philosophy today is you just allow kids to do what they want to do and they will figure out everything within life. Guess what will happen if you allow kids to do what they want to do? I'm here to tell you, my kids would eat dessert for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Michaela's saying no. Okay, I was wrong. But I mean, it's amazing. What will they want to do? They need that structure that comes along and puts boundaries for them. Even within listening from a secular standpoint of discipline, they were sitting there and teaching us, children are screaming for boundaries. I'm like, boy, that's good to hear. Guess where they got it? Right here. They didn't fess up to it, but that's where it came from. From the Lord. Not just left to themselves to do what they want and to just go. There is boundaries, there is guidance, there is direction that takes place as we care for our children. Now, I shared with you 2 weeks ago that as my children were younger, we spanked them. I can't remember the last time I spanked one of my kids. It's been a long time. And I'm grateful. You know what? I did not like doing that at all. Is it the only mode of discipline? No. A lot of other modes. As a matter of fact, I deal with foster children. Guess what? Legally, I cannot. Yet we discipline. One of the greatest things, as I've shared with you before, is we gave them a Kindle. And you know why they got a Kindle? It's because we love them very much. And we do. But you know what the biggest reason was? So we could take that sucker away. It's helped a lot to be able to do those things. So there's other things that you can do, the withdrawal of privileges and things of that nature. But the issue is that we are to be consistent. Proverbs 13:24, hopefully I've got it right. It says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. You hear that? You are diligent about it. You do it over and over and over. Are you diligent to discipline? One of the ladies that was there Thursday night, she made the statement, I've got this three-year-old, and you know what? I keep telling this three-year-old the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And I mean, she was almost in tears as she was going over and over because this. And she had five kids. I was like, and the youngest is three. Bless your heart. And the lady gave some encouragements and some things that were good for her to work with her. But it's like, guess what? Be consistent. They will go over and over and over and over again, and they can drive you bananas. Be consistent. Be consistent with your children. You say, you know what? I just let up once, and guess what? I had to go back, and it's just like starting over again. It is. Consistency over and over and over again. Debbie and I remember whenever our kids were small like that, and we'd go in and go, will they ever get it? Ever? They've gotten it. It's over and over. Now, it doesn't mean that we just can't. You know what? You keep doing the same thing over and over again. You know, sometimes you've got to evaluate. We'd sit down and we'd talk about it. Says, you know what? We've done this over and over again. Is there another way that we can approach it? Or can we look at it from this angle or from this angle? Or how can we make it different that might make an impact? Constantly. Bounce off of each other. Talk to other parents. Make sure it's based godly. There's a lot of things that people will tell you that are just kind of nuts. But make sure it's consistent in raising your children. I love this passage. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. You just think about it. The foolishness. How much foolishness? I mean, kids, what? They're born, there's foolishness within them, and what do? We discipline them, train them out of the foolishness of life. It is part of parenting consistently. We dealt with this a little bit last time. I think I really chased a rabbit trying to get ahead of myself, but what causes kids to misbehave? Think about it. James tells us in James 4, 1 through 3, he says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire, you do not have, so you murder, you covet, and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You know how everybody fights and argues and fusses? Whether it's at home, whether it's work, whether it's at church, whether it's at Walmart or whatever it is, it's that you're not getting your way. Think about it. Every time you've argued and you'd fussed, go back and you can find out the root is you didn't. Now, folks, understand there are different issues that can come up. The biggest two that I can think of are brain injuries. There is something that physiologically takes place with the brain when there's an injury that takes place, all right? There's some diseases of the brain that do that. But by and large, you can look at the want to of the heart. Jim said this morning in Sunday school, you use the word heart a lot. You know why? Because it's out of the heart come the issues of life. Your kids, guard their heart. Help them to see that heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard it. Help guard your kids' heart. What comes into their minds, what comes into their lives. Now, folks, you can't protect them from absolutely everything. Bad things take place within this life. That's not what it's about. But guess what? There are some things that you can protect them from and you can guard them from in this life. I'm here to tell you one of the things that you ought to have is on your remote control. You ought to protect just what comes on that television. And I like what one person said, I have my remote control, the button that I hit, that when I can hit the alternate channel, it goes to C-SPAN. That'll put you to sleep. Why? Because some of the commercials aren't even worth watching. Guard their heart. Guard their minds. Help them to see within their heart where their anger comes from and where upset and where they're not getting their way comes from. Remember, as you discipline them, it's not fun. If you enjoy disciplining children, take another look. It is not fun. Scripture says, Hebrews 12:11, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained. It is hard. It is difficult. Sometimes you think it will never end. Lovingly, kindly, graciously, and when you do it wrong, asking for forgiveness in the midst of it. Discipline. Remember, it's got purpose. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you punish him, even though they look at you and they say, I'm going to die if you do that, they won't. You say, if you strike him with a rod, you'll save his soul from where? You understand, this is long term as you deal with children. You are looking at their eternity as we raise our kids. You're concerned about how, as that they've been, every kid has sin within their life, and you deal with that sin. I remember one person saying, you know what, I don't even know who it was, but I remember they said, you know what, I don't spank my kids because they don't like it. You know why I spanked my kids? Because they didn't like it. It made an impact on their life. Other ways, yes. I think I shared last time. You know what? If the government comes along and says, you know what? I can't spank my kids or they're going to take them away. Guess what? I wouldn't spank my kids. I am not going to put my kids on the block of going into someplace else. It is not going to happen. If there's anything I can do to prevent that, it is not going to happen. Proverbs that we're looking at, general principles, generally, when they're applied, they work within people's lives. Not commands here, all right? Not commands. We see in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is a general principle. As you train your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, they won't depart from it. All right? Does anybody know some godly people that have raised some ungodly kids? Anybody? Yeah. It's a general principle. It is not hard set fact. But in general, as you do these things, guess what? God blesses. And what is it? It's as they get up. The way it really is even when he is old, it's as they continue and grow up, guess what? They continue to serve the Lord. Train up a child. Treat them as you train them up. And teach them as individuals. Folks, David and Michaela are like night and day. Have you ever noticed? They different folks. And you add three more kids in the mix of it, I'm here to tell you, there's three more different ones. All of them individual, different personalities, all different ways to be able to discipline and work within them and to reach them. And guess what? It continually seems to be changing. I'd like to say that, you know what? I got it down. I'm at stage one. And some days I don't think I've reached that. You treat them individually. You live it godly before them. We read the Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9 earlier. I've got it up there on the screen. But you see that it starts that way, that repetitiveness as a baby. We had a lady in our last church that she taught us. And the kids, she had kids in the nursery. And as she would take David as a newborn and Michaela as a newborn, we watched her go, the word of God is sweet. As a newborn. And here, us two, mamas and daddy, don't have a clue about raising kids. And we watch Miss Jane look at him and go, the word of God's sweet in Sunday school at 2 weeks of age. And start impressing on their hearts. Everything. Sharing Christ with our children. Daddies, it's your primary role. If you think the church is going to take care of it, you're wrong. 168 hours a week, and if you're here every hour that we are open on an average week, which would be 5 hours of teaching of everybody, that's 3% of their time that we get here. You got the rest. Your teachers have the rest. Where's the responsibility fall? Parents. Putting life and discipline and teaching. Always put their lives in the context of the gospel. I wish I could say I've done this perfectly all the time. But this story I came across about three or four weeks ago really kind of put it to me. Some of you may know Nathan Milliken used to pastor at Oak Park in Jeffersonville. He's now moved to Phoenix. But he had put this story out about his daughter Lydia. Said Lydia just came out of her bedroom saying she can't sleep because she had had nightmares. By the way, the nightmare consisted of a green gorilla with big white hands. I'll be honest, that sounds a little scary. Here's what we talked about. Lydia, you don't have to be scared because that gorilla isn't as strong as God. And when you go to sleep, God doesn't go to sleep. He stays awake and never needs to sleep. You ever thought about that? He never needs to sleep? That's right, Lydia. Is God strong? Could he do 20 push-ups? He could do push-ups forever. Wow. He is strong. Closed eye, he said, in all seriousness, rest well tonight, my friends, because God doesn't need sleep like we do. He's God, and there is no one like. That's for his little bitty girl having nightmares. Putting life in the context of the Lord. Amen. How do you do that? You spend time in this precious book. And you hear it and you say, you know what? God doesn't go to sleep. God's strong. And in those times of life when they're scared or when there's uncertainty, you put things in the picture of how life really is from God's viewpoint. Share the gospel with them. I've shared with you many times as you discipline your children, perfect opportunity to share the gospel. When they sin and when they disobey you, they sin. All right? It is okay to tell a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old they have sinned. Because guess what they have done? If they have disobeyed, they have sinned. It doesn't mean a massive description and all of those things, but helping them to understand that they're sinners. Why? Because God's a holy God and he calls us to be perfect in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And God calls us to be that way, and everything that we do that's contrary to that is sin. What do? We teach them that God's paid the price for our sin by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Guess what? It's a story that ought to get told over and over and over and over and over again. And it's okay. It's okay to be repetitive. They need that. It's necessary. Teach them how to respond to what Christ has done. They respond with confession of sin and repentance. I've done it with both of my kids, and they finally get upset and say, you know what, you've sinned, you've done wrong. What have you done wrong? And they've got to confess it. And then they've got to ask Daddy or Mama or both of us to forgive. And you know what? Every time I do that, I get a big smile on my face. And I look at him, I say, of course your daddy will forgive you. And you know what happens every time? Get a great big old hug. Those are the best hugs in the world. When there's forgiveness and restoration of the relationship, but it's a picture of what has to take place within their life as they come to the point of accepting Christ as Savior within their life. Confession and repentance. Living it out day in and day out. Are you perfect at it? No. Never will be. But you strive and you show godliness in all that you do. As you raise those children in the discipline and the nurture of the Lord. Instruction of the Lord. Where are you today? Maybe God's dealt with your heart and you know, I'm so inconsistent. Be consistent. It's tough sometimes, even as they get older, but you got to be consistent. They've got to know where you are at and how you operate. The Lord with everything. Couch it with the gospel of Jesus Christ of your whole life. Did you hear it in the Old Testament? It's when you sit down, when you get up, when you lay down. I mean, it's just everything of life. You put the scripture on the walls everywhere, and you're reminded of it. They're going to say something. You know what? I've already heard that before. Good. You're not doing it. You need to hear it again. Gently, graciously. Maybe you're here today and God just dealt with your heart and you need to respond to the invitation on your heart. Maybe you're here today and as we just went through the gospel and explaining sin and that the penalty for sin is hell, you realize that you need to come to that point of accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master or the boss of your life. Come and accept Him. You say, preacher, I feel like I need, there needs to be something that takes place and I just don't understand it. Be glad to sit down with you in a room and just open up God's Word and see what it has to say to you.